Triune God, we praise you for as the God of love and life. Though Jesus prayed that we would be one, we confess that we fail to live in unity with each other and with you. We break our communion through hostile words and our kind actions. We long for your Spirit to heal us and to correct us. We long for you to help us experience communion with you and with each other as gathered around your word and table. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Friends in Christ, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When you cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In Christ, by the power of the Spirit, we are forgiven. Thanks be to the triune God. Amen. And as God's forgiven people, let us greet each other, turn around, make each other welcome as before we move forward in the service. Receive this greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. God of heaven and earth, before the foundation of the universe and the beginning of time, you are the triune God, author of creation, eternal word of salvation, life-giving spirit of wisdom. Guide us to all truth by your Spirit, that we may proclaim all that Christ has revealed and rejoice in the glory he shares with us. Glory and praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. But let us confess together the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Hear God's word.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Psalm, chapter 8. Found on page 427 in your pew Bibles. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have founded the bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm stopping there. In the creeds of our faith, the Apostles, the Nicene, the Athanasian, this very first article that we just recited, we acknowledge God as Father and as Creator. Maker of heaven and earth, Creator of heaven and earth. And that's easy for us to do, isn't it? It's easy for us to acknowledge God as Creator when you just look out the window and you look at the majesty of creation. I'm sure you, like me, have stood on the pinnacle of a mountain or some mountain saddle and looked out on this panoramic view of a peaceful river valley below. And it kind of catches your breath, or some magnificent sunrise or sunset. And it's, wow. Or maybe, just maybe, you've looked through a microscope at the intricacies of the amoebas and the microorganisms that are there. It's hard to deny the existence of the Creator when you're looking at the wonder and the design of creation. I asked the men of our Wednesday morning Bible study how it is that they experience God. How has God revealed himself to them? As God the Father, as God the Son, as God the Holy Spirit. And their responses were many. Dan Beck said that when he goes hunting and he looks across hundreds of miles of pristine forest and hears the animal noises of the early morning, he can't help but praise God who created it all. Roger Miller said that for him, the wonder of God's design and creation comes from looking at the human embryo and the magnificence of how the life begins and develops. Eric Corsten reminded us that we have a responsibility as stewards of this creation, as did our first lesson remind us, to take care of this incredible creation. Considering God as Father and Creator is what causes us to build grand cathedrals and install pipe organs. It's what inspires pastors to wear robes and candles to be lit on altars, and why we have stairs leading up to the altar. When we consider God as Creator, it's easy to stand in awe, to say, who cannot believe in God when you look at all there that is? God as Creator causes us to bow, to kneel, to prostrate ourselves in reverence before such majesty, such awe. God as Father, Creator, is the first act in the divine drama. The divine drama, of which there are three acts. But God the Father, God the Creator, is what inspired the prophet Isaiah to write the words we sang as our opening hymn, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." It's a wonderful opening act. Thank you. Christians, what do you believe? We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
The second scripture reading is found on page 922 in your pew Bibles. The reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Now you might expect the second person of the Trinity to make a grand entrance, given the awesomeness of God the Creator. But the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, doesn't enter the world that way. He comes simply, humbly, born in a stable, not in a palace, born of ordinary people, not a king or a queen. And towards the end of Act 2, he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a stately steed. This second person of the Trinity, Jesus, wants to identify with us. And so he wore the clothes of ordinary people. He walked the roads that the people walked, got dusty and dirty, ate the foods of ordinary people, celebrated at a wedding, wept at the death of a friend, got angry with those who would lead people away from God rather than to God. This second person of the Trinity was indeed human, but a unique human, and that he was also fully divine. Jesus was God. And as such, he was able to feed the crowd with a little bit of bread and a little few fish. He was able to heal the leper, cast out demons, walk on water. Not like some sort of sideshow to wow and impress, but so that people could see these miracles and turn to God. God incarnate was the person, Jesus. We have worshiping with us this morning and for the last few weeks, these folks sitting in the front row here. This is Mike and Donna Johnson, if you haven't met them, and their friend, Judy Diaz. I had the privilege of having lunch with them this past week and getting to know them a little bit. Donna, in addition to being a Lutheran pastor, is an architect. I'm sure Donna could tell us that how we design our churches reflects how we see God and how we want others to see God. Shepherd of the Hills is not a cathedral. We have a pipe organ, but not the kind with all the ranks showing behind the altar. No, I think Shepherd of the Hills was designed more with the second person of the Trinity in mind. There are no steps. There's nothing that you have to climb to get into our sanctuary, is there? And even if you come in the back way, there's an elevator to take you to the top. There are multiple doors through which we can come in. The sanctuary is sloped toward the front so that everyone can see. And although our pulpit is slightly elevated, it's not like in some of those European churches that you've seen where it's way up high. No, I think the people who designed this building had the second person of the Trinity in mind. How can we make God accessible to people? But we put up crosses here and there at the top of the steeple, towering over the courtyard, because we want to be reminded that although Jesus was human and God, he did an incredible thing for us on the cross, reconciling a wayward population to a holy God. Jesus wanted to make God accessible to us in the same way that this building, we want to be accessible to God. When I asked the men of the Wednesday morning Bible study how God has revealed to himself to them as the second person of the Trinity, the Son, Dan Gilbert told of a night when he had come to the end of his rope, and weeping, he turned to Jesus, where he experienced forgiveness and peace. Art Terlecki said how when he looks at the cross, it reminds of him of how very deep and abiding God's great love is for us. Jesus, as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, what a leading man he was and is. What a great Redeemer. What a beautiful Savior. And I ask again, Christians, what do you believe? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The gospel today is found on page 812 in your pew Bible, and is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of our Lord.
You might expect this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to make a dramatic entrance, and he does. Remember just last Sunday? Tongues of fire, a violent wind, people speaking in other languages, languages they hadn't heard before. It was a dramatic entrance to this third act of the divine drama. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Come to convict us of our sin, to point us to Jesus, to motivate us for mission. The Holy Spirit coming upon the early church put his presence on those early disciples, came to live among them, to indwell them, we say. The Holy Spirit is God's presence within us. Now, thinking of church architecture, maybe the better way to think of the Holy Spirit is as a home church, a small group of people, a small group who would come and meet together to experience God, to learn more of God. Mary and I had attended church for quite some time, but it was in a home Bible study that we came to understand Jesus as our personal Savior, not just Creator, but Lord, Savior. So I think here at Shepherd of the Hills, that prayer room downstairs serves that function, a place of intimacy with God. The classrooms serve that function. Many people have encountered God, experienced, shown God has revealed himself to people through classes and experiences in small groups. This past Lent, we did that study, some of which were in home groups, right? As we did that red letter challenge. The Holy Spirit comes to us and invites us to experience God more intimately. When I asked the men of the Wednesday morning Bible study how they've experienced God as the Holy Spirit, Dan Beck said, he said, as an engineer, when I encounter problems, when I encountered problems on the job, during lunch, I would pray. I'd say, God, show me the solution. Help me to fix this, figure it out. And he said, so very often when he'd go back on the job site after lunch, the solution would be right there in front of him. He credits the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does this. How does the Holy Spirit reveal himself? Eric Corsten said that to him, the Holy Spirit's revelation of God was a process. That he was baptized as an infant, knew, learned his catechism, went to Sunday school. But it was in a small group that he came to know Jesus as Savior. That he came to accept Jesus as Lord. But he's not done yet with Eric or with any of us. It's a process. We call it sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. Three persons of the Trinity. God the Father, Creator. God the Son, before whom we come in great gratitude for his atoning death for us and his glorious resurrection. And God the Holy Spirit, who makes it real for us, who brings it to us, inside of us, leads us. The Holy Trinity, what a show. Amen.
As with many hymns of the church, the last stanza is a Trinitarian or doxological stanza. And the church has a tradition of standing during those times. So I'll give you a cue when it's time to stand and sing that final verse. The hymn that we're going to sing is a new one to this congregation. It's a delightful tune and text. And it's the setting that the composer has written is really designed as a way to teach you the hymn. You will hear the choir sing the first four stanzas, and then we'll invite you to stand and join and sing loudly. And it doesn't matter if God gave you a voice or not. John Ferguson said that if God gave you a voice, sing loud to praise him. And if he didn't give you a voice, sing all the more loudly to get even with him.
Thank you.
Blessed Holy Trinity, you are the one true God who exists eternally as three persons. You are a mystery beyond our comprehension, yet you have made yourself known to us. Father, we praise you for your sovereign love, planning our salvation before the world began, and giving us a creation to admire and tend. Thank you for revealing yourself to us as our Father, our Creator. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, we praise you for becoming flesh, bearing our sin and rising in victory. We thank you for your example of righteous living, for your miracles which not only healed and fed and exorcised demons, but inspires us to turn to God. Thank you for carrying out the Father's plan for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, we praise you for opening our eyes, sealing our salvation and dwelling within us. You convict us of sin. You lead us to forgiveness in Jesus. You intercede for us in prayer, and you motivate us to mission. Thank you. Lord, in your mercy. As always, we pray for those in need of our healing, your healing touch. We remember especially those of our church family, Duane Abbey, Alice Nasby, Alyssa Postian, Sue Boyle's friend Karen, Edith Stock, Marlis Corsten, Kelly Martin's daughter Candace, Virginia Schoberg, DJ Littrell, Jeanette Anderson, Jessica Miracle, and newborn Maddie Schenk. But also, we lift before you those dear to us and those for whom we promised to pray. Thy will be done, triune God. Lord, in your mercy. We are grateful for our partner churches here in Fountain Hills, as well as for the relationship we have with Peace Lutheran Church in Holbrook, as well as our mission partners around the world. Encourage these brothers and sisters to their witness for you. Lord, in your mercy. May our worship reflect who you are. Let our prayers honor all you have done. Let our lives reflect the love that exists eternally within the Godhead. Glory to the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." We pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated as our communion assistants make their way forward. Please know that you are welcome at the Lord's table today. Follow the direction of the ushers as they dismiss you.